You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitler, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitler.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning, September 15th, 2025. Joined as always on Mondays by Dr. Kristen Lyerly and by Up North News reporter Selena Heller. Selena will tell us in just a couple of minutes about an unusual, more colorful, not your typical protest that took place in the Chippewa Valley last week. That's on the way. Brittany should be back tomorrow to give us all the weather news, but you, of course, can catch the forecast throughout the day on your local Civic Media station. But in the meantime, Rob doesn't take a day off out in Tigerton, where he says, good morning, it's fair and 54 degrees. It was really a very beautiful weekend. Saturday had a mowing job and went to the Tigerton Lions Club steak fry. It was excellent with great steak. Sunday, watched some football. Then took around the countryside, seeing the changing colors of the leaves, and took some pictures for my social media and for my friends. We are definitely getting to that time of year with the leaves are like right there, just about to pop, depending on what part of the state you're in.
Mm-hmm. I posted one of Rob's pictures. They are absolutely beautiful. And Rob also sent me an article about some disability benefits that are in danger right now because of the Trump administration. So I'll be making a little TikTok video about that later today. Thank you, Rob.
You have been a TikTok machine recently.
Well, there's a lot of information that people need to know, and it's great to be able to put it into a bite-sized, you know, clump and let people have a conversation about it.
I wouldn't call your videos a clump. You're very nice. Rob also knows last night I saw the Northern Lights.
I was going to say that. Yeah, Northern Lights were out last night. A lot of Wisconsin, it seems.
Yeah, I saw one picture. I'm sure by now social media is full of them, but very early this morning, somebody put one up. And I was like, wow, is that what they looked like last night? So that's great. Some people got a very nice view. I'll be looking at that. In the history section, I neglected to mention today is National Google Day, because that's when they claimed the domain this day in 1997. It is World Engineers Day, and it's Double Cheeseburger Day. Oh. And it is the start of Hispanic Heritage Month. And if people go, well, wait, it's the middle of the month. Well, yeah, Hispanic Heritage Month runs from September 15th to October 15th, because several countries today mark September 15th as their Independence Day, including Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, all declaring independence from Spain on this particular day. So, yes, again, happy Hispanic Heritage Month for folks. Double cheeseburger, I don't know, might be a bit much for me. I'm more of a sliders guy, you know.
Oh, really? I do love a good double cheeseburger. Maxi Burger from Dick's Drive-In in Kakana any day.
We did, after we did the fall festival, we headed up to Amber Inn up at the top of the hill there in Eau Claire, above the old Uniroyal factory. It's just some of the best burgers ever, you know, on a griddle that I'm convinced dates back to the Warren Harding administration. And shall we say,
maybe it hasn't.
Yeah, right. It's properly seasoned. So, yeah, shall we say.
That's where it gets its special flavor.
That's right. So, well, while we're talking about things in Eau Claire, actually, before, Selena, we get to the Eau Claire story, I do want to mention the other news from this morning. State Senator Kelda Roy is announcing that she is jumping into the governor's race, making her candidacy official today. So I'm sure we'll be talking to her a lot in the coming 11 months between now and the primary election. And Kristen, you saw Kelda recently.
Yeah, I got to spend some time with Kelda. Actually, she gave me and the president of ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and the chair of the OBGYN department down at UW-Madison, and a bunch of students and residents, a little tour of the Capitol during our big meeting over the weekend. You know, Senator Royce has been a huge champion for women's health and abortion rights for a very long time. So I'm really excited to see what she brings to the table as a candidate for governor.
Yes. She gets in a race that also includes Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, with Sarah Rodriguez running for governor. That opens up that spot. And so you've got Sarah Godlewski, the current Secretary of State, now running for Lieutenant Governor, which means there's an opening for Secretary of State. And in that post, you have Milwaukee Common Council member and former legislator Jocasta Zamarripa running for Wisconsin Secretary of State. And Jocasta Zamarripa will be our guest here live just over an hour from now. So a lot to cover just today alone on the things that are going on. Selena, you were covering a recent protest in Eau Claire about budget cuts. And it wasn't your typical, you know, just carry some signs and, you know, chant some things, which is fine. I mean, everybody should be able to protest something they feel strongly about. But if you can add a little splash of color or character, especially the characters, well, that's what you'd find in Eau Claire last week, right?
Yep. Wizard of Oz themed it was, because they called it Toto, we're not in America anymore.
It definitely feels that way to some folks. And so, and people got into the theme, didn't they?
Well, yes, they were wearing lion costumes and Dorothy's and witches and even houses. Like, it was, they had to spend a lot of time on these costumes.
These were very creative. My favorite was that somebody put their little dog in a basket, you know, like Toto, and the sign around the basket said, "Nobody's coming to eat me." You know, thinking back to Trump going, "They're eating the dogs." Yes, I did see one person dressed as a house. They basically built a house costume around themselves. Is that who you talked to?
That is who I talked to, Amy Holton. She's from Chippewa Falls, and she talked about kind of why she was there. And they have these rallies. Chippewa Valley Indivisible hosts these rallies every week. So they marked the six month anniversary of having these rallies. And that's why they kind of did something a little bit different and more colorful. So this is Amy Holzum of Chippewa Falls talking about why she was there.
I'm here because I strongly believe in preserving our democracy. And I'm just astounded at what has happened to our country in the last 6 months. So I'm here to show support and get others to rally as well. And I'm hoping for a blue wave in 2026.
What are the things that affect you the most, or that you're the most surprised about?
Oh boy. So rule of law is really important to me. My father was a police officer, and I'm just appalled at the pardons that Trump has given to criminals and what he's doing to immigrants that are not criminals. So, you know, I just feel strongly in the rule of law. That's what makes our country great. You know, it's what provides stability and makes people trust our country. And without it, you know, I think we're in tough shape.
Well, that's Amy Holzen of Chippewa Falls. And I like that she emphasized something beyond just the budget cuts. And believe me, the budget cuts are plenty of the protests, people's health care, people's nutrition benefits. But here in her case, she's actually looking out for others, for law and order, for the criminals being let loose and the immigrants who are being treated as criminals. And I'm sure you saw that kind of selflessness in other folks in the crowd as well, Selena. We're always told, oh, democracy is not the number one issue. People are worried about their wallets and everything. You know, it's still kind of important.
Well, and that was the thing too, because along with the Wizard of Oz theme, it was, you know, the words of Glinda the Good Witch still hold true today. And that was kind of the sentiment, that because Glinda said, and it was, you know, the rally is talking about coming together to fight for each other. And so Glinda says, "You've always had the power. You've had it all along, my dear." And so that was kind of the theme of helping each other out and banding together to kind of come together to fight all of these things.
Krista is our representative. Glinda, you can concur with those remarks. You talk to people who it's about the budget cuts for some people, but it's about taking care of each other for other people.
I think that for most people, they are tired of politics. They are tired of the rhetoric. They just want to live their lives. And that's why they're worried about the cost of goods and services, because that is real for them. And the whole democracy thing seems very tied up with politics. But the truth is, all of that political stuff is what makes prices higher, is what makes it harder to find a job, is what makes it more challenging to get an education. So it is important to engage in whatever way you can. And it's delightful to see things like this happening where people don't have to be hardcore. They can be creative and fun, but still acknowledge, hey, this isn't what we have, what we want to see for the future of our country.
Well, especially when you consider that people look at others who protest and think, oh, they're just always angry about something, and that anger is the fuel for protests and demonstrations. And that's not necessarily so, that these are friends and neighbors who still have a sense of humor about things, but want to, you know, express a particular point of view. And this isn't the only example of that. There's also the example in, was it Superior? Where was it, Superior or Wausau? Gosh, I lost track now. For Congressman Tom Tiffany's office, where they tend to turn the lawn sprinklers at the office building for Tom Tiffany's office just coincidentally seem to come on when there are protesters outside of Tiffany's office. And so one day they showed up in when the sprinklers came on, they took off their top layer, and there they were in swimsuits and flippers and snorkels and things like that, and turned it into a beach party because you got to have a sense of humor about these things.
Yeah, they played beach music, had umbrellas, and they were ready, and they were dancing around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Art and joy and music will save us. Trust me. Lean into it.
Yeah. Along with compassion and empathy, we were reminded many times in the past few days that somebody referred to empathy as like some kind of a new age made up term. And I think that really didn't set well with people who are looking at the reactions of the past few days since the Charlie Kirk assassination and saying, you know, actually, it's right that we have empathy for one another. And that includes being against political violence, even against somebody that you didn't agree with. There's a lot that could be learned if empathy was a bit more of a quality of the people who are in power right now.
And it's right that we talk about it. I think mm-hmm. a lot of us are feeling very afraid to say anything because we're afraid to say the wrong things. But the truth is, we have to have these conversations, and they have to be from the heart, and we have to listen to each other, or we will not come to a place where there is a shared understanding.
That's right. Yeah, Sonia, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's that word. I remember putting that, I think, on last year's sheet on the Meet the Teacher Day. Like, what do you want just to make sure Emory, you know, learns this year or whatever? And one of those things that I put on there was empathy, and you know, to look out for others and think about other people. And I hope that's what they're kind of relaying in school also.
Hope they do as well. Yeah, it's in shorter supply than it needs to be in this country these days, that's for sure. Let's take a look at sports here at 7:18. You had the Brewers playing the St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend, and they did clinch a place in the playoffs. So there will be postseason baseball for the Brewers, but there's still plenty to play for, because if they're currently, you know, best record in baseball, the top two records get a bye in the first round. And as we know, the Brewers have not done well in the first round of the playoffs. So if they could skip that wild card series and get right to the divisional series, that would be a good thing. So the magic number still stands at 8 to clinch the Central Division, but the Brewers are in the playoffs. They fell short yesterday 3-2 against the Cardinals, but they did win on Friday and Saturday. But as for yesterday, a couple of solo home runs by Caleb Durbin and Danny Jansen were all that they could muster. The Brewers are off today, and they will be hosting the Los Angeles Angels coming up on Tuesday. Coverage begins tomorrow at 6:05 on several civic media stations. Head over to the website to learn more. Of course, the Packers were off yesterday because they'd won on Thursday. Their next game is next Sunday, September 21st at noon at Cleveland. And the Badgers were, they were walloped by Alabama 38-14. And they will next open the Big Ten season this coming Saturday, hosting Maryland. You'll hear that on several civic media stations as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Just about 7:23 right now. And again, you can keep up to date on what Up North News is doing by signing up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. And this morning's edition, a story about how the Wisconsin Beef Council, in partnership with Gather Wisconsin, is excited to announce the Prime Rib Trail, a statewide guide to restaurants serving up perfectly prepared prime rib.
I saw that. I shared that to my friends.
Well, there you go. Official carnivore of the show, Selena Heller, will tell us more.
That's true. I had prime rib over the weekend.
Well, you know, you could do that with fish fries. People have certainly done it with cheese and wine and breweries. And so, yeah, all of it makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't you have that? So,
yes, that is what I say. It goes throughout the state. There's, you know, in every kind of region. Mm-hmm. So a stop, there are plenty more stops to be had, but it mentions a few.
I will definitely on a Friday, I'll be thinking, okay, it's Friday, it's fish fry. Where do I want to go for fish fry? And a lot of places they'll have a fish fry on that day. And then they'll have a prime rib special on Saturday. Thursday and Saturday. Yeah, as well. And I have to admit that off the top of my head, there's not a place where I'd be like, oh yeah, because I don't think that I'm going out for prime rib tonight. It's I'm out for dinner and I see it on the menu and I either do or don't want it that particular night. But maybe other people use a little bit more forethought in their prime rib. Kristen, is that a dining priority for you?
I am not at all a prime rib person, so mm-hmm. I cannot speak to that. But I can speak to the Supper Club book that I know you have spoken with the author,
yes.
And I cannot think of his name off the top of my head, but we actually have that book and we will choose a supper club based on that. And then we'll bring it and show it to them and have them like write a little note in it. And it's adorable because so many of these supper clubs are, you know, they're family owned and they're proud of it. And it creates a conversation and it becomes a really nice, fun experience. And if you go to Plover, and I cannot think of the name of the supper club in Plover, but I will. You can actually buy a little cone that looks like a hazard cone in the road, and a little orange cone, mm-hmm. and you pay for like $4 for it, and you put it on your table so people know that you are a supper club enthusiast, so they'll stop by your table and have a conversation with you about supper clubs that you've gone to. It's so cute. So it's kind of in the same vein as the prime rib thing, you know, it's something to bring people together and mm-hmm. and have an experience and have a conversation.
Ron Faiola.
Yes,
does all the Supper Club books.
Yes,
and it's been a while since I've talked to him, and he was working on like a fourth edition or something like that. So we really should find out the latest on that, because these things change all the time. Go ahead, Selena.
I have a plug for a prime rib buffet.
Ooh,
at Castle Hill Supper Club in Maryland, kind of back home in my neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. And it is coming up because they have special ones throughout the year. Like one is during Cranberry Festival for those people going to Warren's and staying around the area, and deer hunting time. Prime rib buffet. What?
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I'm in. I'm sold.
Me too. It's around my birthday, so I couple it with my birthday, and it's the Warren's Cranberry Festival one. So,
which by the way is coming up September 26,
27, 28. All of those days, sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you are, a lot of people driving the interstate and they're, you know, just what is that, just north of Black River Fall or just north of Toma? Between Black River and Tona. And in the middle of nowhere, suddenly traffic is stopped and you realize it's all the traffic on I-94. Getting set to get off in Warren's to take part in this massive festival in this teeny tiny town. Yep. And by the way, the same thing happens a little further to the north up in Stone Lake for their Cranberry Festival as well. Yeah.
I don't know.
I have an important
update. I go every year to Warren's.
I have an important update on the coffee and donut claim that I made earlier. I did text Craig and he said now he needs to stop at Quick Trip to get a donut. See, like just the mention of it just sets him off.
I love that he just leans right into it. Just doesn't fight the stereotype. He's like, oh, no. I eat only healthy foods. No.
My favorite thing is Altoona Police Department. They're one of their therapy dogs is named Donut.
They actually do a fundraiser in Green Bay that's called Cop on a Rooftop, and it's at Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, yes.
And they put a cop on top of Dunkin' Donuts rooftop, mm-hmm. and they raise a bunch of money for some charity. It's cute.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Stone Lake Cranberry Festival, by the way, is the following weekend, October 4th. Just the one day only, Saturday, October 4th up there in Stone Lake. So we're getting to that season now where we don't have there are no more county fairs. County fair season is done. And now we're just getting into that fall festival where you either have like the perfect weather or the, oh my God, is it winter already? You know, with the sleet coming sideways. And hopefully it's the first and not the second. Rob, quick on the here to remind us, Tiger Gin Apple Fest is on September 27th. And Alicia noting they do Cop on the Roof in Darboy as well.
A lot of towns here in Eau Claire too, just right up down the road.
Yep. And Tony reminding us, who doesn't lean into donuts? Exactly.
I'm getting hungry myself.
I was going to say at the fall festival was one of the food trucks was their specialty was flavored mini donuts. So you get a basket of like 8 different mini donuts. Each one is made up with different types of frosting, you know, your apple cinnamon and your sprinkles and your butterscotch candies and things like that. So how am I doing for Build a Better Breakfast Month, Parker?
Oh, you're doing awesome, Pat. That sounds great.
It did not say build a healthy breakfast month. It said build a better breakfast
month. And it didn't say how it's supposed to be better. So
right.
That's a great point. You got to define better.
And
better
so as somebody who built a better breakfast this morning with just apple crisp, I am not going to, you know, rain on anybody's parade if donuts is the way you want to go. Catch the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show again this weekend. Head over to Civic Media or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. Selena Heller continues to have all kinds of coverage through us at upnorthnewswi.com and on socials. Kristen and Selena, thank you very much. Have a great start to the week.
Right back at you, brother.
All right. Thanks so much for helping us kick things off, as always. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Robert Craig from Citizen Action about climate issues and more right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back on this Monday morning, September 15th. Nice to have you here across the Civic Media Radio Network. We were mentioning earlier the Prime Rib Trail, story about that in this morning's newsletter. You can be sure to check that one out. There's also a story in there on how to apply for FEMA flood relief if you're in southeast Wisconsin, now that disaster aid has been released. And a reminder that tomorrow is National Voter Registration Day. So it is a good reminder to maybe go check your own status at myvote.wi.gov. There's no election anytime soon, which means now you've got the time to get registered without all the pressure. Double check your registration because sometimes voter files, you know, get cleaned up or modified. So Voter Registration Day is tomorrow. That reminder coming from our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. One group that is especially good at reminding you to get registered to vote and get up on the issues is Citizen Action. And Robert Craig is the executive director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin, citizenactionwi.org. Robert Craig, good morning. How are you?
I'm good under the circumstances. Always great to be with you, Pat.
I was going to say, that's kind of the evergreen answer since January. We completely understand that. And we, as part of our Movement Mondays, where we try to get in touch with all kinds of groups that are working to, you know, defend and enhance democracy and focus on all kinds of issues. I mean, Exhibit A has to be Citizen Action in terms of, you know, choosing those high priority issues and educating voters about them. There is, let's start with climate, because you actually have an event coming up that's related to the climate, which to me seems quite appropriate, given that if there's been one, well, there have been many themes from the current administration, but one of them is certainly dealing with not just denying that we have a changing climate, but being hostile to it and doing everything possible to kill the march toward a new generation of jobs and clean energy, and instead go back to as much, you know, coal and oil and fossil fuels as possible. And Citizen Action is among the groups saying, you know, on behalf of a majority of Americans, not so fast. So what's going on?
Well, there are mobilizations all over the country, actually. Some are calling it Sunday. So you're absolutely right. The science doesn't change, and this is a supermajority position. Most people think that there is a climate crisis and believe we should do something and take the action directed. Though the small group that is very loud of climate deniers, and then you have a government currently at the federal level, which is completely captive to the fossil fuel interests and seems to think somehow that making America great again means going to a dirty, more expensive fossil fuel economy that is increasingly outmoded. There's not only the question of we need to reduce emissions in order to create a world that is livable for our children and where the beautiful environment we love in Wisconsin is preserved. But frankly, solar energy in particular has become so inexpensive and is exploding so much all over the world. What this administration is actually doing is doing something more expensive, also causes a lot of pollution that causes a lot of health problems, lung cancer and asthma, and will increasingly increase people's utility bills that are increasingly unaffordable. That's why you saw Xcel Energy in the western part of the state asking for a 19% increase from the Public Service Commission. And so the Wisconsin Climate March is on September 30th. We're part of a large coalition of environmental groups that are pushing it. It's not only Citizen Action as an initiative, so this is very much a joint project in Madison. And Citizen Action members around the state are going to be joining many others who care about this issue. And where we are, Pat, is we can't stop this administration for the next few years doing what it's going to do. But it doesn't change the science. It doesn't change the fact that we, to prevent runaway climate change, need to cut emissions in half by 2030. That's 5 years from now. It simply puts the onus on state government and local government. And so as we go into this last legislative session of before a big elections that could change, that could, and elections that will determine who the governor is and who controls the legislature, it's critical to make this a key agenda item for a new legislature, because the science doesn't change, and the fact that the federal government's doing the reverse of what it should be doing cannot stop us from addressing this situation.
We're talking to Robert Craig from Citizen Action, and one of the measures you're talking about there is called the Climate Accountability Act. It would require the legislature to pass a concrete and enforceable plan to cut greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030. And maximize the economic benefits for all Wisconsin residents. And Citizen Action puts it to its members quite clearly. Does your state legislator support it? And go ahead and call and ask. Ask your state senator, ask your state assembly rep if they support something this concrete, this tangible, to get us off of fossil fuels and into a new direction, which really comes to the heart of what Citizen Action is about, is asking questions and sharing information. Sometimes it's through deep canvassing at the doors, but sometimes it's just asking pointed questions of your legislators instead of just waiting for the speeches and the press releases, is to say, hey, where do you come down on this? It's a very direct method that Citizen Action has to when it comes to information and education, right?
Yeah, you put it very well, Pat. We're trying to create clear issues for people so you can understand what is taking serious action on the climate crisis and what isn't, because frankly, that gets muddled and muddied in legislative politics and by both parties, quite frankly. And so there was actually a lot of resistance, even among Democrats and some progressives, introducing the Climate Accountability Act as we worked on it with our members across the state and our organizing cooperatives and with allied legislators. But once it was released earlier this year, Pat, it quickly drew 33 co-sponsors, including a lot of moderates. And it's all it does is it requires the state to do what is scientifically minimally necessary to prevent runaway climate change, which is have a plan to cut emissions in half. The visions tend to come once you talk about what the plan is. And what we wanted to do is get out of that and say, look, if we agree we have to achieve the outcome, then we have to get serious in a legislative session. And so this says, by the end of the next legislative session, there will be an accountable, enforceable plan, and the legislature has to figure it out, and a governor has to figure it out. And so we're continuing to roll this out across the state in different regions and try to build support beyond 33. But what we've learned is that if let's say the legislature changes hands, that'll be a big fight in 2026. Let's say you have a Democratic quote unquote trifecta, that is Democratic state assembly, state senate, and governorship. It's our experience, and this is what happened when the 2 years Democrats had full control in the 21st century, a decade and a half ago. If the agenda isn't already set, the legislature won't actually reach agreement, even if it's a Democratic legislature. So this is trying to set a bold agenda that will actually address our major problems, climate crisis being one of the major ones. But of course, there are others, like our funding and education, like the healthcare crisis.
Or like the one I was going to bring up next, the Hospital Accountability Act, because again, hospital monopolies can actually threaten a community's health. And so once again, Citizen Action has a Hospital Accountability Act and asking, does your state legislator support that? What is it that people should know about hospital monopolies and the way that they impact Wisconsin healthcare?
Well, we need to understand that, speaking of the science, the research is overwhelming that the primary driving reason for healthcare inflation, which is, I mean, healthcare is so unaffordable to people that most people with, over half of people with insurance are skipping care. They have insurance, but they don't think they can afford the co-pays, deductibles, and all the surprise medical bills, because you never know what the bill is going to be after any significant medical interaction. That makes them sicker, and they don't get the care and preventative care they need. Wisconsin in the 1980s deregulated the hospitals. The Hospital Association, their trade association, said the market will take care of it. We used to regulate how much they can charge, just like utilities. Energy utilities have to get their rates approved. Often we think the government commission, the PSC, approves rate increases they shouldn't, but at least there's an approval process, not true with hospitals. And then the other thing is that they used to be able to have to get approval to build new expensive things, new hospitals, new facilities, to make sure that it was actually needed and wouldn't increase prices. We got rid of both those regulations. They've consolidated and become even bigger and bigger monopolies, and they've dramatically increased prices so much that in Wisconsin, we have the highest hospital cost in the Midwest and the fifth highest in the country. And they're more than triple what is charged to Medicare, which is a sufficient rate in our wonderful Medicare system. And so we've been working with Senator Jeff Smith, a good friend of yours from the western part of the state, Eau Claire, and a lot of the rural areas south and west of Eau Claire, and hope to introduce that this fall. But it would restore regulation of what the price is, and it would also restore state approval to build expensive new facilities. And it would therefore approve them if you're building facilities in underserved areas, like rural areas that have lack of hospitals, lack of birthing centers, et cetera, and urban areas, like in Central City, Milwaukee. And you would not be able to build duplicative stuff just to get more market share and make more profit, and then raise all of our prices. So we hope to be introducing that soon. We hope that there'll be, just like with the Climate Accountability Act, a lot of support for that. By the way, by doing that, you could also free up a lot of money to put into the Medicaid system, Pat, that would actually help mitigate the horrible cuts that are coming down the road because of Donald Trump's big, ugly bill.
And also there's one about utility costs and a note that says that legislators should consider a 2% income cap on utilities. In other words, no one should be paying more than 2% of their income for utilities. Ask your state legislators if they support that as well. And that too, in a way, comes back to, again, market control, monopolies. Are you working for the shareholders or are you working for your customers? Again, a common theme from Citizen Action.
Yeah, I was just talking about the hospital monopolies. Utility monopolies, they have a legalized monopoly. They're the only ones that can provide power within a service region. And they've used it to block renewable energy people can control, like rooftop solar, unless you have the money to get a loan yourself, and that's middle and upper middle class people who think to do it and figure it out. and energy conservation measures that would reduce the amount of energy we use. We have a vast amount of energy conservation we could do with commercial and residential buildings that hasn't been done. We're just wasting energy because utilities make profit, Pat, by selling more of it and building huge, large plants, especially fossil fuel plants, that they can securitize through Wall Street, another financial arrangement, in order to make a massive capital investment and profit over a 40-year period. They're building far more of this capacity, which is expensive and raises all our rates, than we need. It also is hurts the climate, and it also it causes pollution that harms people. And so this changes the incentives, and this is being drafted as well. It says that you are going to pay more if people are paying far too high a rate for their utilities. And 2% is a reasonable amount that people can afford at any income level. Middle, upper middle class people pay around that now. Low income people pay much more, 15, 20%, and they can't afford that. Then they can't pay rent.
So that, I mean, and there's so many more options that we didn't even get into. There's the Badger Care public option. There's a $20 minimum wage. All that and more Citizen Action will be working on in the fall legislative session. So, Robert, I hope you just come back and we can talk about more of that in the future. Robert Craig from Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Thank you, sir. Good to talk to you as always.
Great. Always a pleasure, Pat. You're a real pro. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Joe Castezamarripa, candidate for Wisconsin Secretary of State, is coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's 7:52 the time here now, live from Chippewa Falls and Madison Studio A2, where Parker Olson is producing this fine little shindig, and Boscobel, Wisconsin as well, where Jimmy Cuska joins us to talk about the weekend in sports, which it was nice that the Packers got that win in their back pockets on Thursday night because it freed up a gorgeous Sunday to get some stuff done, unless you were, a Bears fan and you had to watch your team. How many points were scored on the Bears by the Lions? 52 points, I believe.
I think they just scored again, actually, Pat. I just looked over. So,
no fun. Jimmy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, what's great about September is that even if I have a day where I'm like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to get done today. I don't know what to look forward to. Chances are there's a football game on somewhere. So
yes, that's true.
This time of year, I can just flip that on. And on the other hand, too, the other thing I can look forward to is the Brewers, who clinched a playoff spot over the weekend in an impressive game, coming down from down big to rally and win, which they've done a few times this year. I tell you, you know, we thought maybe earlier this summer that the Brewers might have peaked or something, and that they were winning too many games in a row in like July. But here we are in September, and they're still winning games. They're way out in front. You know, now they have a clinched playoff spot. They're playing for the number one seed. I tell you, it's a good time to be a baseball fan as well. It's not just football season. The Brewers are certainly stealing the hearts of many right now in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mentioned at the top of the show that that Saturday night comeback was amazing for the people who weren't me, who didn't give up on the team and went to bed and said, well, okay, this one's a loss. No, it wasn't. It was one of the best comebacks. I think their 11th walk-off of the season. And this team is now going to the playoffs. It's just a matter of whether they get that first round bye or not. And manager Pat Murphy also over the weekend read a letter to the team that was said to be from Bob Uecker to be read once they were clinched to a playoff spot. Why don't we give a listen to that? It's just a little over a minute and a half of Pat Murphy reading this Uecker letter.
I got a letter today from Uke. And before we toast, I want to read it. Thanks, Mark. Thought it was fitting. The last time that we celebrated, Uke was with us. Howdy, boys. Never a doubt you would get this invitation. You did it by believing. Really miss you guys, and I wish I was there. Things are good. The God Almighty picked me to be on his team up here, albeit I'm the third catcher. It's a great league. No day games after night games. No shadows. But you got all the sticky you need to have up here. Told the big guy about you guys. You play hard every night. You're not afraid to play for each other. He's obviously very interested in the group with this uncommon goodness. The fact that you have the best record in baseball, the best road record in baseball, has caught his attention. You don't really need me. I know you guys really don't need me, but I've got to tell you, I'll be on the headset every night watching. And don't forget to take it all in, enjoy it, keep it light, and believe in each other. Bob Uecker. So let's toast to him and to our team what we've achieved so far. Hey, hey.
That was a very nice moment there where the team, again, just kind of invokes the Bob Uecker spirit and reminds each other that's how they're doing this. They're not doing this with massive superstar contracts. This is just a team that knows how to play well with each other.
Yeah, and I think even more impressively is just how dominant it's been, right? I mean, you expect the Brewers, going in every year that, you know, they could be competitive. They might play for a wild card, whatever. You don't expect them to go and, you know, own the tiebreaker against the Dodgers and the Phillies and all these teams that have got, you know, bazillion-dollar payrolls. And I think that's what's really been impressive about it. And the fact that it just seems like every week there's a new, you know, viral moment with this team where, you know, somebody who they just picked up in a trade like 2 days ago or yeah. signed up, or promoted or whatever within the organization within the last couple of weeks, all of a sudden they're out there contributing to all of this. It hasn't been just one guy that's been raking or one pitcher that's been just blowing people away. It's been everybody. And that's been the most exciting part of it, is that you don't go into the postseason having to rely on one or two guys. It's all 26. And I think that's just a testament to just how well the Brewers have developed, how they've managed not having the payroll of other teams. That's what makes it exciting. It makes them an incredibly easy team to root for.
Well, and I'd come back to the coaching as well, because the Cincinnati Reds, the number of outfielder collisions that they had over the weekend was, just embarrassing. And that, you know, you can blame some of that on the players, but there's definitely an element of coaching involved in that as well. Brewers are off today. They continue the homestand tomorrow against the Los Angeles Angels. Coverage begins tomorrow at 6:05 on several Civic media stations. The Badgers played Alabama over the weekend. Well, the Badgers were in Alabama. They were on the field.
They weren't the only team in red having a tough weekend from the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Still, 38-14, and it really wasn't that close. You have Danny O'Neill subbing for injured starting quarterback Billy Edwards, who did go 11 of 17, 117 yards. He had a 41-yard touchdown pass to Jaden Ballard. There was Vinny Anthony, who returned a kickoff 95 yards for a score. Now the Badgers open the Big Ten part of their schedule next Saturday, hosting Maryland. You'll be able to hear that game on several Civic media stations, but Parker's already made a bold guess on how many wins the Badger football team's going to rack up this year. Parker, what's that big old number?
I see no more than like three.
Three.
Yeah. Not really going out on a limb, because as I tell people, just look at the October schedule and tell me where you think the Badgers are going to pull one off, because it's going to be a tough one.
Well, there you go. It's coming from Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska. So Parker, you're in good company there. Jimmy, thank you so much. Have a great start to the week. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Talk to you Wednesday, guys.
All right. We've got a busy morning here. We had this morning's announcement of State Senator Kelda Royce running for Wisconsin governor. And we also have Jocasta Zamarripa from the Milwaukee Common Council running for Wisconsin Secretary of State. And we're going to be talking to her in the next hour, right after the news here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.